Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Aren't we having a great worship? And prior to the beginning of our worship, we got to listen to those young people recite things they know from the Bible. And I know that you feel the way that I do. It just is so wonderful. And to hear Dylan lead singing, is he good or what? And all of these young men who are leading singing are doing such a great job, and I was proud of him. Proud of him. It's a wonderful thing to be in a group of people like we are tonight who can sing together, "It is well with my soul." Romans 8 says, "There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And when we're in Christ and when we're walking after the Spirit, we can sing together. I mean, we can sing it. "It is well with my soul." This morning I talked about the soul, and with your permission, I'd like to continue that tonight and talk just a few more minutes on the subject of our souls. In Matthew 16 and 26, my Lord said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Or, and here's the last part where I really want to focus tonight, "Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Isn't that an interesting phraseology? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? That is, what would a man trade? You're familiar with bartering. Bartering is different from paying with cash. Bartering is, you have something I'd like to have, I have something you'd like to have, and let's trade. Now, sometimes, of course, people make foolish trades. Anytime you see me, you can just figure that I've got a pocket knife in my pocket. I just always carry a pocket knife. I have since I was a boy. I've always, unless I'm in an airport, you know that I'm carrying a pocket knife. Now, have you ever heard the term dropping knives? Dropping knives has nothing to do with actually dropping them. It means a trade. And what it means is that a man will come to another man and he'll hold his fist out and he's holding his knife and he says, "You want to drop knives? I don't want you to ever do this because this is a mistake." Now, because you don't know what kind of knife. Some knives are very valuable and some knives are worth almost nothing. And the idea is that you would just trade sight unseen. Would you make a deal like that? I had an item for sale one time and I put it in the newspaper. And a man called me and he really wanted what I had for sale. And I said, "Well, I'd be happy to come over and take a look. I'd be happy to show it to you." He said, "But I can't come today. Only tomorrow." I said, "Well, that's fine, but somebody has already called and they're coming to see it today. And if they don't buy it, then you can come." "Oh, no, no." He said, "I want it." And that man bought that item sight unseen. Now see, that's not a very smart practice. Why would you make a deal like that? That's not a very smart practice. You think about gambling. I believe that gambling is a sin. There are a number of reasons I believe that, one of which is that it violates the golden rule. You know what Jesus taught. What you would that men should do you even so to them? Gambling is the opposite of that. I'm not trying to look out for your best interest. I want to beat you. I'm hoping that you lose your money so I can have it. That's the root of all gambling, right? And of course, it's wrong. It's wrong from the get-go. It's wrong from the heart. If I ever change my mind about gambling, I'm not going to go to a casino and play the games. I'm going to buy a casino because they know what they're doing. You know, that's a bad business. Sometimes people make bad business deals. Let's talk about bartering our souls. Jesus said, "And what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Right now on the internet, there's a man who is selling his soul. Well, it's true. I looked it up. He's advertising on the net that his soul is for sale. And if I understand it correctly, that you would pitch in X amount of dollars, whatever you choose, and at the end of the prescribed period of time, whoever has put in the most dollars wins the soul. And I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, what does he get if he gets this man's immortal soul? And according to the fellow who is selling his soul, you get $500 at least of his annual income until he dies. You get to name his children. No profanity, he says, please. And you get to inscribe his tombstone any way you want. And I suppose there are other things involved in owning this man's soul. That's silly. That's very silly. What would a man take for his soul? What would a man give in exchange, take in exchange for his soul? And of course, the point is that people today are selling their souls for a number of things. And I want to review them tonight. I want to review them because you and I need to protect our relationship that we have with the Lord and protect our souls. You see, our soul is the most valuable possession we have. We need to protect it from the kinds of things I'm about to talk about. And secondly, we need to talk about these things so that in teaching other people, we can understand where they are and hopefully help them. Sometimes people will exchange their soul, barter their soul for money. For money. If I referenced Jesus talking about a rich man, what comes to your mind? Well, you say, I can think of two or three. I can think of Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. And the Bible says that a rich young ruler came to Jesus. What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commands. And he recites some of the Ten Commandments. And the man says, all these things have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible says that he walked away from Jesus because, I mean, you know, that's a lot, Lord. He had great possessions. And then you get to Luke chapter 12, verses 16, beginning and following. And the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then, of course, you think about Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus. And the Bible says that this rich man died, you know, he had no pity for Lazarus, who was laid at his gate full of sores. The rich man would throw some crumbs to Lazarus. But by and by, they both died. And the rich man, the Bible says, lifted up his eyes in torment. Now, I talked to a man one time who believed that these three might be the same man. Isn't that interesting? I mean, after all, you start out with a rich young man who listens to Jesus, and Jesus says, here's what it'll take for you to follow me, and he declines that. And then you have a man who is described as a rich farmer. He is making crops, and his grounds bring forth plentifully. And then you get to the next one, and it's this rich man who fares sumptuously every day. Have you ever wondered if maybe it was the same man? The first one walked away from Jesus, the second one died, and the third one lifted up his eyes in torment. It's not wrong to have money. It's not even wrong to have a lot of money. But if I ever get to the point where my money or my hunger for more money outruns my determination to please my God, then I have bartered my soul. I knew of a man one time who was in a particular business, and he was approached with this proposition. You know, you could have a promotion and a raise in salary, but I tell you what you're going to have to do, his superior said. You're going to have to falsify the expense account records. And he said, I just can't do that. That's dishonest. I'm not going to do it. The next year came, and the same thing was told to him by this superior, but something different. Something had changed. That man's son had been very ill, and the doctor bills were very expensive, and there were a lot of them. And so he decided to go ahead and do it, and he did. And he got the promotion, he got the raise. and he made the money. But before long, his conscience burned within him, and he went to those who were in charge and confessed what he had done and made arrangements to fix that sin. There was a period of time in which he sold his soul. He bartered his soul for money. Sometimes people barter their soul. What would you give in exchange for your soul? And some people, they might not say it, but in reality, the money is more important to them than serving the Lord and being what Jesus would have us to be. And they sell their soul for money. For some, it's popularity. Think about this. I guess all of us have a desire to have the appreciation or approval of the people around us. And to a degree, that's not wrong. You know, Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. And I have a relationship with my acquaintances, the people around me, and certainly I want the approval of others. I'd like to help them come to Christ. And certainly there's a place wherein that's good. I suppose the worst example of a man selling his soul for popularity, perhaps it has to be Mark 15 and verse 15, where the Bible says, well, it says in verse 10 about Pilate that he knew that for envy that the high priest had delivered Jesus. I declare there's very few things in this life that are more painful than injustice. I mean, to look at a man and say, you know the truth, and you know that you're not acting according to the truth, and you know it, you know. Yes, but verse 15 of Mark 15 says, because he wanted to content the people, he wanted to make them happy, he said, you may take him and do with him as you will. You may crucify. Let's go ahead and execute him because I would like for the people to be contented. I'd like for them. Now, listen, a man may sell his soul in order to please the people around him. I think that there are two. Now, this is an opinion, but I think that there are two times in life when a person is particularly susceptible to the danger of selling his soul for popularity. And one is between the ages of 14 and 18. There's just a period of time in there, and peer pressure seems so very heavy. It seems so important to have the approval of those who are around me. I heard last week of a woman who was 114 years old, and somebody said, what's the greatest thing about being 114? And she said, no peer pressure. But when you're a teenager, a boy or a girl, you feel so inclined to want the approval of the people around us. And that's why parents, listen to this old preacher. That's why it's so important that during these years you stay close to your kids. You see, the troubling thing is that for fathers, that's about the time when their careers are coming to the peak and we're so busy and we got so many things to do. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't get a second chance at your kids' teenage years. And you be involved in their lives. You be involved as they play ball. As they play in the band. Whatever they're involved in, you be a part of that. You be with them. You be close to them. You be a good father to them. Be a good mother. Because the peer pressure is so heavy. I think the second time when the peer pressure is so very difficult is between the ages of 22 and about 38. And what happens to a man is that he has his eye on that vice president's office. And he has his eye on the leader of district sales. He has his eye on climbing the ladder, and he knows he can do it. He knows that he has that within his grasp. And there's a thrill to business and a thrill to work that I think that a man has. I want to be successful in what I do. I want to make well. And part of that is providing for my family, and part of it is just that male push that we have to succeed. That's not bad within proper boundaries. But so he gets so close, he could have it, but then he's faced with those challenges. I need to close this deal, but my client really, really wants me to go to a club with him, and he really wants me to drink with him. Will I do that? And there are those jokes that a Christian shouldn't laugh at. Will I do that? And in reference to those places that involve pornography or women that I don't have any business being around, will I make that compromise? And there's a time in life there where the pressure to compromise can be so very heavy. And sometimes a man, perhaps for a short amount of time or perhaps for a long time, will barter with his soul. I want this so bad. And my Lord said, I wonder what a man would give in exchange for his soul. A few years ago, several years ago, the Tennessee River flooded its banks. And some boys were out playing. There was a stack of lumber out beside one of the banks, and the water had just risen up around that pile of lumber, and a rabbit, a small rabbit, had gotten caught. I guess he thought he could eventually get to a higher place, maybe escape that. But anyway, the rabbit was on top of the lumber, surrounded by water. And one of those boys said, I'm going to get that rabbit. And he dove in after it, and he got to the woodpile, and he took the rabbit and he put it in the bib of his overalls. But upon trying to swim back, there was an undercurrent that caught him, and he went down, and he lost his life. And the boys finally got their friend, the lifeless body of their friend, back onto the bank and realized they couldn't resuscitate it. And one of them reached in the bib and pulled out that wet, dead rabbit and said, just to think that it did that for this. And sometimes people are that way about their souls. And what I want to say to you, Christian, is you always have to value your soul. It's one thing to barter material things and sometimes to make a bad deal, but it's never right with your soul. One more thing. Sometimes people barter their soul for pleasure. For pleasure. Have you ever thought about the difference between pleasure and happiness? Oh, you need to get this if you haven't considered it, because there's a great difference between the two. Pleasure, you see, while not always wrong, God has given us things that provide pleasure. Pleasure is something that is short-lived, and happiness is a much deeper thing. And Jesus said that we could have happiness when He was washing the disciples' feet. He said, you call me Master and Lord, and so you should, because that's what I am. If I wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. You ought to serve one another. And if you do these things, watch, happy are you if you do them. You know, serving people isn't always about pleasure, but Jesus says that's happiness, or it brings happiness. Pleasure is different. And if you get these things confused and you live your life in pursuit of pleasure, you end up losing your soul. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul writes about Demas. And he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Isn't that telling? And so very ironic that the word present is used there. When you forsake Paul, the idea is that Demas had forsaken the gospel which Paul was preaching, and he forsook the truth and he walked away. What, for what? For what? For the present world, for the pleasure that the present world would offer him. But the ironic part is that the word present is no longer applicable. It hadn't been applicable for a long, long time. It was present, but only for a short amount of time. And while Demas has been dead and gone a long time, so short, and he gave so much, his soul, for such a small thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, talking about the younger widows, the Bible says, he said, now be careful how you treat young widows, because they have a special set of temptations that will face them, and here's how you should treat them to help bring about the desired result, because she which liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. It's referencing, of course, sinful pleasure and pursuing the pleasures of this life, the worldly things. And it comes down to the bartering of one's soul. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, lay on the wayside soil are they which receive the word, they hear the word, but the devil comes and takes it out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. And so the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, can be so very enticing. The thing that we got to get a real grip on, though, when we're tempted to barter our souls for the pleasures of this world, and you may be facing some of these temptations in your life right now, and if you are, here's what I want you to think about. Those things are very short-lived and they won't last forever. Brother Wendell Winkler, who passed away a few months ago, and what a great gospel preacher he was, said that one time he was teaching in a rather informal setting, and he was talking about this point. He was talking about how that you don't want to pursue sinful pleasures and sell your soul for that, that some people do that. And he talked about cocaine, and he said a cocaine high lasts between 3 and 10 minutes. And he was illustrating the point. And a woman raised her hand and she said, 9 minutes! 9 minutes! And she had just been recently converted out of the drug culture. She had recently become a Christian. And she knew what she was talking about. Now, I know, not from personal experience, but from talking with people, how addictive that drug is. But I just want you to think about what a foolish bargain that is. Anytime, because you sacrifice your health and the health of your children, and you sacrifice the joy and happiness of life, you sacrifice so much, and what do you get in exchange? There's a 9-minute high. But before you make too much fun of that, it's being unreasonable. Recognize, please, with me, the fact that people often barter their souls, the most valuable thing they have. And for what? And for what? In Matthew 24 and 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. That's right. That's right. Whatever I pursue in this life, instead of serving my Lord, instead of being a faithful, devoted Christian, a sanctified man, a sanctified woman, whatever I exchange for that is a poor bargain, because this world and all that's in it is going to be burned up one day. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing as all these things shall be destroyed, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And the answer is, I'm going to live my life to the best of my ability, recognizing that the most valuable possession I have in this whole world is my soul. And I will not trade it. Not for money. Not for popularity. Not for pleasure. My soul is not for sale. In our text tonight, Jesus asked this most penetrating, most haunting question. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Christian, always be faithful. Hold God's unchanging hand. Live every day to the best of your ability to serve the Lord Jesus and to emulate His example. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want to say to you that you have hope through Christ Jesus being offered to you right now. That this invitation we're about to present is not ours, and if you choose to accept it, you're not accepting us, but the Lord Jesus Christ, to say, I want to follow Him, because only the way of the cross leads home. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who's ready to become a Christian. Repent of your sins and confess the name of Jesus, and tonight be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And know what it feels like. Know what it's like to have a soul that's not sin sick anymore, but a soul that is white because it's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is there someone here who would like to respond to the Lord's invitation? If so, come now as we stand and sing. Thank you.
hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.